shower, the high 92. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, September 16th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Of course, Chase Brumfeld is right there on the other side of the glass, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. We're ready to rock and roll this morning. And we got you covered for the next couple of hours, talking sports and more here on the Big Tide 100.9 FM, as well as 1230 AM WTBC, Tide109.com, or also download that Tide 109 app if you want to take us with you anywhere, any place, anytime. Just download that app so we can talk sports with you. Got a good show on tap. Going to run it down here for you in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Spend your time living, not banking. Find the perfect account to make life easier. You can do it at Alabama Credit Union. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership to join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, we're ready to go here on the show. As I said, got a good show on tap for you this morning. A lot to cover. Alabama's on its bye week, but that doesn't mean that Kalen DeBoer is taking the week off. You know, coach is going to be working hard. In fact, he spoke yesterday, his yearly appearance. The Alabama football coach always speaks on the first bye week of the year at the Monday Morning Quarterback Club in Birmingham. And so it was awesome that we had an opportunity to hear from Kalen DeBoer yesterday morning there in Birmingham. And he also did a media opportunity. And we've got that for you. So we've got Kalen DeBoer audio this morning from yesterday over in Birmingham. Plus at 9:30 this morning, the Rocket Man, Rudy Arman, from 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. Also at 10:30, the Patterson Law Firm segment with North Patterson. The topic, big insurance miss, what adjusters don't want you to know. He has 5 points that he's going to cover with you. He can take phone calls. We can talk about it here on the show. The Patterson Law Firm segment presented by Patterson Law Firm. We'll have that for you at 10:30 this morning. So we got a busy show. Phone calls, as I said, are welcome at 205-342-9904. All right, NFL football last night. We had the Monday night doubleheader that we have early in the season. And boy, the Texans lost a tough one. And wow, what really stinks is that I have to tell you that on fourth down and 10, with the Buccaneers down, Henry Toa, former Alabama linebacker, had a chance on a blitz to sack Baker Mayfield to end the game. He whiffed. I mean, he took a terrible angle. He went right by him. Baker ran for the first down, and then the Bucs went down to score the game-winning touchdown literally in the game's final seconds with about 6 seconds to go. So they go to 2-0, and the Texans go to 0-2, and that was a tough loss. And if you're a Texas fan right now, and obviously many of us are because of DeMeco Ryans being the head coach there, you got serious questions all of a sudden about what's going on with your quarterback. A guy that 2 years ago as a rookie was absolutely dynamic, C.J. Stroud now is not playing to that level that he played at as a rookie. It's weird how these quarterbacks can come and go. We know Baker Mayfield has reinvented himself a number of times, but C.J. Stroud has struggled since his rookie year. Last year, he took a step back. In the first two games this year, he's not been very good. Last night, he was okay, 13 of 24 for 207 and a touchdown, no picks, but the Houston offense right now is kind of stuck in the mud, and they're 0-2, and this is a team that, you know, has been winning that division, the AFC South, on a regular basis. Also last night, the Clippers, what am I thinking about? I tell you, when it comes to the Chargers, I can butcher them every way possible. I can call them the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Clippers. They're the Los Angeles Chargers, which still, to me, they should be the San Diego Chargers. But the Los Angeles Chargers, they beat the Raiders in a defensive-minded game, 20-9. Halftime, it was 17-6. Only 6 points, two field goals scored in the second half, one by the Chargers and one by the Raiders. Just not much offense in that game. But the Chargers will take it as they go to 2-0, and the Raiders fall to 1-1. And for the Chargers, Justin Herbert had a really nice game. 19-27, 242, two touchdowns, no picks. Geno Smith, 24-43, 180 yards, no touchdowns, three interceptions. Not what you're looking for from your quarterback. Three picks and no touchdowns. So the Raiders go down to the Chargers last night in an AFC West matchup. College football, as we mentioned, Alabama on bye this week, as is Georgia. Those two teams will collide a week from Saturday night in Athens in the ABC primetime game of the week. Alabama will work on a lot of different things this week, and the players also will get a little bit of a break, get a couple of days off, as is the case when you have a bye weekend. Of course, college football now, you have two bye weeks. Alabama will get another one the weekend of Halloween, which I like. If you're going to play 12 games and you're going to have the chance to play many more than that based on the postseason, I think it's good to give these players a couple of weeks off during the season, which is what they get now with the two bye weeks. So we're off and running here on the Gary Harris Show. It's 12 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and get our first break in and we'll come back with phone calls. We got phone calls lined up in the next segment. We've got Drudy Army coming up at 9:30. We've got Patterson Law Firm at 10:30. We're going to hear from Kevin DeBoer. And also this morning, we're going to hear from Brian Kelly, both his initial conversation following the win on Saturday night over Florida, and then his apology that he had yesterday after what some people have called a tirade, a little bit of going off on a reporter. We're going to have that for you as well. But we'll come back and take some phone calls on the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Representative Jeremy Gray, a Democrat from Opelika, and Representative James Lomax, a Republican from Huntsville, are combining to issue a call for civility and respectful debate. That's in the wake of last week's assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. The two lawmakers say civility is not a weakness, it's a strength in a democracy. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage all throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special Monday.
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
See him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:16. We've got Brian Kelly audio that we're going to get to both post-game and then yesterday, his apology to a reporter in Baton Rouge. But right now, phone calls are lined up. So we are going to take Philip, then Larry the Music Man, then Corey. Let's get to Philip that leads us off this morning. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Gary, that was a great finish last night for that Tampa Bay-Houston game. That was just a lot of fireworks right there at the end. I thought Mayfield made some great plays to keep Tampa Bay alive and fighting for the win, which they got. That was a great finish.
It was. Really good football game. Tough loss for D'Amico Ryans and the Texans, but they had opportunities to win that game, and they didn't. They had a first and goal, or a second goal inside the one-yard line one time and didn't score. And then after taking the lead, you let Tampa Bay drive it down there and convert a fourth down and wind up winning the game against you.
Yeah. Gary, this is a good time to ask this question, I think, since Alabama's got an off week. The Virginia Tech and UCLA jobs are already open. What route do you think those programs can take? Because those, to me, those programs right now are sort of in a precipitous spot. You know, they can either crumble or rise up. And I think Virginia Tech's got a little bit better opportunity to rise up than UCLA does. UCLA almost they're almost like on the same paradigm as Stanford, which is downward.
Yeah, no doubt Virginia Tech right now looks like a better job. Better infrastructure, just everything in place to turn that around. UCLA's a mess right now. I mean, they're playing in a 100,000-seat stadium where they're putting, 20,000 fans. They've been through enough coaches now that they've tried the high-profile route with Chip Kelly. They've tried former players. And that UCLA job right now, someone will take it. But, boy, they're in bad shape. They're behind in NIL. Again, you're playing in a stadium that's, much bigger than what you need. You're coming off a disastrous head coach that, didn't even make it through three games of his, of the season. They're in bad shape at UCLA, and it hurts them that to not be in the Pac-12, to not have a strong Pac-12, to have to move to the Big Ten. I mean, USC and Oregon look like they can handle it. Oregon, is a strong program. Washington, but there are some of these programs out west that, man, you need a strong Pacific Coast Conference for some of these programs, and you don't have it now. So UCLA is a mess.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, I would not be surprised. A little bit of a curveball, but I would not be surprised to see Virginia Tech talk to Michael Vick.
They'll probably talk with him. Because of the name recognition, I mean, now he's very limited as a coach. I mean, Norfolk State, I mean, you have to be careful. That's what UCLA did. They brought back Deshaun Foster, and, it didn't work. I mean, you got to get a football coach first. And I'm not saying Michael Vick won't be a good football coach, but he's very limited in experience. But we've seen people, go that route, so they might talk with him. But I think Virginia Tech's a job that can be turned around pretty quickly. And there'll be a lot of interest, I think, in that job. They got a great fan base.
Yeah, with the right guy, I think they can get back to where they want to be. UCLA, I don't know what in the world they do. Good grief.
Yeah, it's like I said, they're really behind the eight ball. I mean, they really, really are. And all they can do right now is try to go out there every week and put a team on the field that's competitive with a interim coaching staff. But it's not a great situation. Hey, good to hear from you, Philip.
Appreciate it, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's get to Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Gary, good morning. I just want to say I watched more football Saturday than I have in a long time. Rhett came up, was on leave, and I enjoyed that Tennessee-Georgia game. Of course, Alabama winning, that was big, but that was a very good game, and I was pulling for Tennessee as a property. I hate to say that, but I take too much around here on Georgia, man. I respect Kirby, but I just can't. I'd rather pull for Tennessee.
Well, I think a lot of people were splitting that game. I wanted to see Georgia win it simply because I think now, Alabama's got to go there and play either way. And if you do beat them, you get a lot more credit if it's an unbeaten Georgia team. And if they beat you, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't sting as much as if they already had a loss. So I think it's better for Alabama from a competition standpoint that Georgia won that game. So,
well, you had mentioned that before the last week, and I agree with that. I guess living here in Georgia, you understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, no, I do. I get it. I absolutely understand it.
I poked pretty hard on that FSU game. But listen, I've been doing this every Tuesday. I want to plug the show tomorrow. I wasn't going to give a heads up, but I think it's people enjoy it to have a little time to think. We're leaving rock for a while in the 70s. Now, we're not leaving the 70s for a while, but we're going to go to R&B and soul.
Okay.
I want to get on that, and I know you're keen. I know who you like, and we talked about it. I want the top four male R&B soul vocals, your favorites, and I want the top three R&B soul bands. I raised it up a little bit on the singers to make it four, but that's still hard. You know what you know what happened during that era, man. The R&B and
soul was. Oh, yeah.
But we're going to go back and have fun a while. And, I can't wait for the 60s, man. I'm telling you, I've been really getting my head together for that. But we got a lot of room to cover in the 70s.
We sure do. All right, we'll be R&B and soul tomorrow and top four male singers. And you say,
now, Gary, if the singer you pick is in a band, go, that counts too. You can do that. That won't take away. In other words, for instance, Lionel Richie and the Commodores. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you may run into that. And I'm anxious to see people's taste and just how where this goes. I was real amazed with the female and the male vocal thing we did, you know, a while back. So we'll have some fun.
Absolutely, we will. Hey, thank you, Larry. Look forward to it.
All right, Gary. Thank you.
All right, let's get to Corey and Trustful, and then we'll get to Cameron to wrap up the segment. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Fine.
You know how sometimes, this is just the way I see this. You know how sometimes, this rarely happens. You know how sometimes College Game Day, just they pick a game site because they have nowhere else to go, really? Well, I think they made a bad choice this weekend.
Went down to Miami. You don't like that? You don't like that one?
And I think that game's going to be ugly really quick. The other good matchup is Indiana hosting Illinois. Indiana's number 19 and Illinois is number 9. I would have gone to that game if I was game day. Indiana doesn't get much publicity, and that's a good chance for their program. I just think game day's making it. I mean, don't get me wrong, to cover Miami's great, but that game is going to be ugly real quick, in my opinion. Now, I understand it's a rivalry game, and I guess Florida would get up for the game, but I just think that game's going to get ugly real quick. And I just think game day's making a mistake going to that game. But as far as Alabama goes, we just need them to get healthy and, get our players back and get a running game going, because can't be one-dimensional going into Georgia, because they'll eat that alive.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to have to be at their best offensively. Alabama will, but I think they're going to play well in the game. I do. I now, whether or not they'll win the game, we'll have to see, but I think Alabama's going to be ready to go. And Georgia will be, too. I think it's going to be a great college football game. I think it's going to be reminiscent of some of the games that they've had, like last year when Alabama had the huge lead and Georgia came back to take the lead in the fourth quarter before Alabama won it. I think it's going to be that type of game, like we saw last week with Georgia and Tennessee. I think it's going to be a great college football game, Corey. But, we'll have all next week to really dive into it. So it's kind of nice, I think, to have a bye this week. I'm relaxing a little bit, not having to worry about Georgia and Alabama playing this weekend, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I think this bye week comes at a perfect time, not just for a matchup, but get these players back and we get to sit back and watch college football and see if any upsets happen.
That's right. That's right. Hey, good to hear from you, Corey.
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Thank you, sir. All right, we're going to close out the segment with Cameron. Hey, Cam.
What's up, brother? You sound like you're doing better.
I'm on the downhill. It's gotten a lot better. So yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, my friend.
Good, man. It's glad to hear it. Hey, man, I had the worst weekend, bro, trying to listen to the game up here in North Georgia. You know, I don't have cable up here in the sticks. I just grow food, keep it simple, and stay quiet. And I use the app. Like, I just dialed in to talk to you. That's how I usually listen to the game. Then I watch the game tomorrow on YouTube, and you know, with no commercials. Well, maybe it was just me, but the app was on a commercial loop the entire day, and it never kicked on to the game. I was like, well, okay, let me call up. Maybe Chase is there. I know Gary's not there. And it was just a busy signal. So then I was like, all right, play and B. I got to go to Facebook and follow the Crimson Tide Sports Network page. And their audio was horrible.
Yeah. Let me say something, Cam. Chase, you get ready to chime in here. I think that, and I could be wrong, Chase, you correct me. I don't think we can, I think on the app, we're not allowed to broadcast the game on the app. Is that right?
Well, that's correct.
Because of the rules with Learfield. We can run it on the radio station, Cam, but we can't broadcast it on the app.
Really?
That's why you had the loop. Yep. They've got strict rules about that. They want you, you know, the rights are for the radio, not for the internet.
Well,
so
I know something.
Yeah, so well, you'll know better next time. But that's, it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So yeah.
It got really bad because the audio was so bad, the dog was barking. So I had to go to my little sports app, like the Coleco old handheld game, and watch the dot go back and forth just to stay in the game. So it was horrible. But one last thing, man, I was thinking about. Remember that game we lost to Tennessee? Might have been Saban's. I don't remember anything. My memory's going. And remember what the player said, that we were scared. We played scared because our backs were against the wall. And we were scared of losing. Instead of trying to win, we were trying not to lose.
Right.
I hate social network, man, because for the next 2 weeks, you have all these talking heads going, Bama's against the wall. Bama's against the wall. If they lose this one, the season's done. We might as well just go home and pack up and wait for basketball. I hate for the players to get to a I'm scared to lose mentality, which, you know, you want to win, but you don't want to not lose. And I would hate for that to kind of creep in.
I'll tell you why, Cam. I think that loss at Florida State was such a shock to the system, and they understand now where they're at and what they need to do. And I don't think they'll be playing scared. They might get beat, but I think they're going to let it all hang out. I think that game was a wake-up call, and it's like, you know what? We've lost a game now. Let's just go play. I think that'll be their mentality.
See, I hope so, man. It's just, I mean, I know it's money. I know everything. But it's just kids playing the game, you know? Get back to that before all this got sideways, you know? All right, man. Well, let me go take care of the chickens. Have a good day, Gary.
Thank you, Cam. Good to hear from you. Good segment of phone calls there. And we're going to get to that Brian Kelly audio later. We'll get to Kevin DeBoer later in the show from the Monday Morning Quarterback Club yesterday in Birmingham. But next, Drudy Armin, the Rocket Man, will join us here on the Gary here. So real quickly, though, let me mention to you as well, T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery, University Mall. They sponsor our Bama football trivia giveaway, which will return next week. We don't have a game this week, so we won't be doing it this week, but it'll return next week when we get back to game week. But also, they've got that $99 suit sale that continues at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. We're coming back with Drudy Armin next here on the Gary Harris Show.
At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timmerson Square.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Filter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
All right, 9:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Yep, it's time for the Rocket Man, Drudy Armin, co-host of Talking Ball, weekday mornings from 7 to 9 with Scott Tyson on 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. And our Rocket Man is ready to break it down. We'll start with Alabama football, and we also will talk some Alabama basketball recruiting this morning. Good morning, Drew.
Morning, Gary.
We're to the bye week, which I was just saying, I'll get your opinion. If you're going to play 12 games and then you have the chance to play several more in the postseason, I like having two bye weeks in the season. And I know it's just three games in, but it feels like it's a good time for one to me. I mean, it's just you got this huge game coming up against Georgia next Saturday. Georgia's got their bye as well. Time to catch your breath a little bit, kind of look at where you're at, and then get ready for, you know, the SEC schedule. What do you think of the double bye?
Yeah, I mean, once they expanded the league and they added Texas and OU, and now they're going to go to a nine-game schedule, it's a gauntlet. So you're going to need two byes to heal up and recharge and get refocused. And certainly the way Alabama's injury situation has unfolded this year, And with this huge trip to Georgia looming, which, well, you know, it'll be, I don't want to go ahead and say the biggest game in the country next week, but it'll be as big a game as any in the country. It allows you to get Jam Miller completely back, hopefully. Tim Keenan, you know, get him back in the lineup. Ja Marion Latham. Alabama, well, as long as things go according to script and practice this week and next, they should be as healthy as they've been since fall camp started. Because, again, a lot of these injuries happened in fall camp before they even played Florida State. So this will allow them to hopefully be, you know, complete. Danny Lewis probably won't be available, but when is the last time he has been available? I couldn't tell you. He's been kind of injury prone his whole career. Mm-hmm. I think the tight end spot has developed nicely. Caleb Edwards has done a good job as a freshman. You've seen some of Marshall Pritchett. We know Quavis is the top guy, and then they've used Brody Dalton situationally. I wouldn't be surprised if Dalton were a bigger part of the game plan against Georgia, because, look, I think everybody understands Georgia's not going to reinvent the wheel. Kirby Smart, he didn't do anything that surprised me against Tennessee. He's just very confident in his team. They're very tough mentally and physically. They're grown-ass men, and they're going to test you. And they're going to test Alabama, certainly. And it's you know, the way this SEC schedule has unfolded, it's very strange. But Kirby Smart's, you know, this is year 10 in Athens, Georgia, and this will be the first time he's ever faced Alabama in Athens. It's the first trip to Athens. It's his last year in Tuscaloosa.
Right.
Which, of course, Georgia was playing Alabama, playing well. Alabama had laid the egg against Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss with the 5 turnovers. I even picked Georgia in the game. I wasn't sure how Alabama would respond, but we all know what they did. A lot of self-reflection from Lane Kiffin on, I think I need to give the ball to the king. You know, I should have given it to him at the end of the Ole Miss game. Probably would have been a different outcome, but he didn't. And then we all know what Georgia did. They taunted Alabama. They danced on the field, and as soon as they did that before the game, I knew Georgia was dead meat. So they and Alabama came out and ran them off the field. Now, Georgia's completely different. Mark Richt had a good run there, but, you know, and it's kind of ironic. His coaching style is a lot like DeBoer's, but, you know, and Kirby's is a carbon copy of Nick Saban. But, you know, it's going to be a really fascinating matchup to see how far this Alabama team has come, because – They did not look very good against Florida State, but now Florida State may be much better than we thought. So that's the kind of the interesting thing about college football now, because it's so unpredictable with the transfer portal. We spent most of my show this morning talking about two teams that might be – they're both mild – one's a mild surprise, and one is just a gargantuan surprise, and that's the turnaround of Mississippi State, which, you know, has a chance to be – who would have thought – when we were in Atlanta, Georgia, a couple of months ago, that Mississippi State, Tennessee would be a battle of ranked teams potentially, and that Mississippi State could be 4-0. And granted, they've only played one pretty good team in Arizona State, but we know how bad Mississippi State was last year, and they've looked like a completely different team. And then Oklahoma, there was people talking about them being the best team in the SEC heading into this matchup with Auburn. So it just goes to show you, college football is extremely unpredictable right now. It's almost a week-to-week situation. And so I think this bye week comes at a good time for Alabama. They get a chance to scheme up Georgia. And, you know, I'm going to quote the late, great Pat Dye. Is Alabama man enough to play Georgia?
Well, we're going to find out, and I tell you what, we're going to hear that quote, I think, a lot in the next 11 days or so. Drew DeArmond with us from 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. I want you to critique the first three games. Obviously, terrible start down in Tallahassee, man, and we were all scratching our head trying to figure out what in the heck happened. Now, give Florida State credit, and we have, but based on what we had heard and seen from Alabama, you could not have expected that. But they have bounced back nicely. You can only play who your, you know, schedule says you have to play, and they beat Monroe 73-0. They took care of Wisconsin. And now we are seeing, I think, the talent. The quarterback play from Ty Simpson has been stellar. Playmakers all over the field, even with the injuries, I think we're getting a glimpse of what this team can be. So just your thoughts of you know, the first three games and where this team is at.
Well, Well, I mean, the biggest story is the rapid development of Ty Simpson, who, you know, it has become what I thought he could be, which is an outstanding fit for Kalen DeBoer's offense because he's very aggressive, yet he's also a coach's son and he's smart. He knows how to read defenses. He throws the ball with accuracy, which is what you need in this system. He's been able to spread the football around. We've seen the quick development of Lotsier Brooks at the slot. He wasn't really even on the depth chart when they went to Tallahassee. We've seen Isaiah Horton start to get going. And then, you know, Ryan Williams returned back to himself after missing the Louisiana Monroe game with the concussion. But I will just say this. Look, if there is a concern, though, for me, against a team like Georgia, Gary, and really the rest of Alabama's schedule, because if you look at it, I don't care what any of these talking head clowns say about, they don't ever play nobody. You used to hear that all the time about Alabama. That was one of the excuses. Well, they don't play anybody, which was, it was complete garbage, but still, that's what one of the crutches was, you know, because Alabama would dominate a Florida State like they did in 2017, and they would ballyhoo it as the greatest opening week matchup in college football history. But then when Alabama would put half the team in the hospital, and then the team would end up not having a good year, like it was Dirt Necks last year that in Tallahassee, a.k.a. Jimbo, then they would say, well, they didn't really beat anybody. That Florida State team wasn't any good. Actually, they were, guys. But when you're that physical and you put half a team in the hospital, you can decimate a season. And Alabama used to beat teams two or three times because people would throw so much into it. But the way I look at it right now is the one thing that concerns me is the drops, because Ty was nearly perfect again. I mean, at one point, I think we were all talking about it at halftime, he was 30 out of his last 31, which that's hard to do in practice, Gary, against air. And he had done that in two games. And these were some difficult throws, too, some vertical throws. Certainly, they had the screen game, but he was making great reads. And so his development has been really, you know, fun to watch. And this, and I said this at halftime of the game against Wisconsin, pardon me. And I mean it. The way this offense is developing, I mean, it's not a carbon copy by any stretch, but the creativity of Ryan Grubb, Nick Sheridan, and Kalen DeBoer, it reminds me a lot of Homer Smith in 1989, the way they formation people, the way they shift, the way they spread the ball around. And, I mean, this staff is very creative because, Gary, I mean, one of the biggest plays of the game, you're trying to score to get on top and start fast. It's fourth down and one, and what do they scheme up? They run an end around with Jeremy Bernard, of all people, who is the best player on the offense, but it's just not something that you would probably see a Nick Saban team do on a fourth and one. But they do it differently. We've also seen them on short yardage, those screens to tight ends. They're just very, very creative in the way they get kids the football. And I'm really intrigued to see maybe some of the wrinkles that they add for Georgia. Now, it's going to come down to the core thing, though. They've got to be able to protect Ty Simpson. But I think what Ty Simpson has proven, Gary, is that if you protect him, he can put up numbers. And Alabama has weapons. They just need to, you know, there needs to be less body catching from Ryan Williams. He needs to turn his hands over. When he did that, he led off Sports Center with the stop and start move, 41-yard touchdown. We saw what he did with the screen that was beautifully the double reverse screen, whatever you want to call it, to start off the third quarter for 75 yards. And then Jeremy Bernard, again, he's the best player on the offense. So I'm really excited about where this offense is going. And I think the next step for the evolution, and it may help the running game, is no disrespect to Wilkin Formby and certainly Geno Vandermark. I think they've done a nice job, but I think we need to see more and more of Jaden Roberts and Michael Carroll on that right side of the offensive line, and that may be a factor that helps the running game.
Dirty Armin with us, talking Alabama football. We're going to get to some men's basketball recruiting in just a moment. Drew, you mentioned getting these guys back from injuries and obviously zeroing in on Georgia. You mentioned them doing things differently, obviously different staff than with Nick Saban. I think that bye week's different. I mean, looking at the schedule, they've laid it out a little bit differently than Nick Saban did. And part of what the design looks like it is to get these guys some rest. As you mentioned, the long season, 12 games. So what's this week going to look like in terms of when do you think they really start zeroing in on Georgia?
Well, I mean, I think they'll buy either today or tomorrow. I mean, it's going to take that much focus, Gary. I mean, I thought another one of the things that was proven during the weekend is that Gunnar Stockton stepped up in a big game.
Right.
I had questions about it because he wasn't that impressive. Now, he did come off the bench in the SEC Championship game and help lead him to a victory over the Texas Longhorns. But in the playoff itself, I thought he was underwhelming. But he really stepped up, threw for over 300 yards. He has mobility, more mobility than Carson Beck did a year ago. And so I thought he answered a lot of questions. And then you know they have a better backfield this year, even though ETN was a good player. But the problem with ETN a year ago is he wasn't healthy. So, and I think their receiver core with Branch, especially coming in from the portal, I think it's better, no doubt about it. And so I think this is a dangerous Georgia offense, no doubt about it. Now, defensively, I think they're having some issues on the back end, which with Alabama's wide receiver core, if they can, you know, block and give Ty time, I think Alabama can give Georgia some problems and make some plays. Cause that's kind of been, you know, Kirby's kryptonite. His kryptonite has been if you can throw and catch. And Tennessee certainly could. And I thought the balls, I don't know about you, Gary, but I thought Tennessee was the better team for the majority of the game.
Yeah, I did too.
But they just didn't finish it, though. And that happened a lot. That's how tough Nick Saban's teams were.
Exactly.
If you didn't finish them, if you didn't have a chance to drive that nail in, then they could come back and you know, it's like the Undertaker, Michael Myers, whoever you want to call. You know, they're coming back. And they can bite you. And Alabama did that a lot. They would steal games from people. And Kirby did that, you know, for the ninth straight time, you know, on Saturday. So, but I just think overall, you know, I think they'll be working on Georgia quite a bit, at least in the film room. Now, you're right. I still think you have to show some physicality in practice, though, because you want to stay sharp. Certainly, you hate that Jeremiah Beeman got hurt in practice. Jam Miller and some of these guys, that's how they got banged up. But you've got to keep your edge. And I think that was the big thing we heard from Kellen DeBoer in the post game after the win over Wisconsin is the edge. You've got to keep this edge. Bray Hubbard said it himself as well in the media room afterwards. We already had our backs against the wall after we didn't show up against Florida State. But their preparation has got to be as good as it's been all year. Give yourselves a chance to win in what's going to be a crazy environment because Georgia's going to be out for blood.
Drew, let's go around the league a little bit here for a couple of minutes because, man, I'm telling you, we know NIL, portal, the commitment to win in this league is second to none, and it's wide open to me. I mean, Texas has been a disappointment so far. Doesn't mean they can't turn it on. But you look around and you mentioned Mississippi State's resurgence. Well, you know, I look at this conference right now, and I can't tell you who's going to win it. I mean, it's a week-to-week league. There are a lot of teams that are good enough to, I think, get to Atlanta. Is it wide open?
Well, I think it is right now. I mean, Texas was thought to be the favorite. I favored them coming out of Atlanta. But I don't know if he's hurt, what's going on. But Arch doesn't look right, Gary. I had a Bama fan send me some film last year just to make a point. And it was Arch warming up before his two starts, you know, when Quinn Ewers got hurt. And he looked different throwing the ball then, Gary. He was throwing it over the top. If you watch him this year, he looks like he's throwing everything three-quarter slot. And then I don't know how much of that Ohio State-Texas game you watched. You may have watched quite a bit of it. But I watched a lot of it. And I wanted to see Texas, see how good they were, see Ohio State, Julian Sand, who we know he was at Alabama for like 2 weeks. But between every series, Arch Manning kept flexing his shoulder and rotating it. And to me, that doesn't look right, okay? If I've watched quarterbacks warm up over the years, they don't do that every time. The only time they're doing that with their shoulders is if something's wrong, okay? Or if they're trying to loosen it up. And so I don't know. I mean, Sark's been very defensive about it. you know, Arch just doesn't look like the player I envisioned him to be. And so then now their defense has been really good. I mean, they've continued to shut people down. But offensively, their struggles has opened this up. And then, you know, we're going to know a whole lot. One thing I remember coming on your show and saying when I was in Atlanta, and I've said it since the summer, I'm fascinated by this Auburn-Oklahoma game because I think the winner is going to be a contender for the SEC in the college football playoff. The loser, especially if it's Auburn, it could go south, okay? Because Auburn has got Texas A&M. That looks like a very tough game in College Station now. And then you got Georgia coming to town, and Georgia's had your number. So this is a very big game for Auburn. And so I'm fascinated to see that game because I think because I thought Oklahoma and Auburn would be improved this year. They certainly have looked that way. But now I want to see who wins this matchup head-to-head. And certainly this Oklahoma team looks completely different, especially offensively, than the one that we saw last year that was so injury-ravaged. And I'm going to be honest with you, Gary. I'm going to say something. This is and I mean this. I watched the dismantling, and I had picked them to win anyway, but I didn't pick them to empty the stadium the way they did. It's the best Vanderbilt football team I've ever seen.
Yeah, they and that quarterback, man, I don't like the kid because he gets under my skin, but he is a winner.
He messed it up, though, Gary. I mean, as much as we hate it, I mean, and I'm not trying to be – I'm not getting on you or anything. I'm just saying – I agree with you the way what he says, but you've got to give the kid credit. He's kind of been doubted his whole career, and he just totally backs everything up, which has been pretty astounding.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, and that's one reason he gets under my skin. I mean, he is just an absolute gamer. All right, real quickly, Drew, boy, this basketball recruiting with Nate Oates and Preston Murphy, I mean, it's elite, and this is an elite program on – you know, Final Four caliber program. I think Nate Oates wants to win a national championship, obviously, and I think he can. Big weekend this past weekend already. Two high-profile commits for 2026. Bring us up to speed.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Bowie and Washington Jr. are both outstanding fit. They both have 6'10 wingspans. You know, one's about 6'9", probably about 195 to 200 pounds. Bowie is only about 170. He definitely needs to gain weight, but he's a freakazoid athlete. You know, they're both top 50 type kids, and they've both committed. We know what happened this weekend. They had maybe the most star-studded recruiting weekend they've ever had. Caleb Holt came in, had a great visit. You know, and he's got, you know, Xavier Griffin and Jamarian Matthews, his family's working him because they're all originally from the Huntsville area. I think Alabama does have a really good shot. I mean, probably Auburn would be the biggest competition. He'll be at Providence this weekend. And then they had Dylan Mingo on campus. They had Jackson Richardson. And then the intriguing thing about this weekend is I saw Cole Clower this summer. He played against Huntsville High, you know, in Greenville, North Carolina, before his Greenville, North Carolina squad came to camp. And Huntsville High won that game. The kid played well. I thought Huntsville's junior, Evan Toms, kind of outplayed him in that one game, but he's now transferred to IMG Academy. He's considered a top 30 player. His visit has been moved up to this weekend. And then you being a native Alabamian and a big basketball guy, I'm a huge basketball guy. So some of our audience may not remember the great Benny Dees, but I certainly
do. Oh, yeah.
He was a longtime assistant under Wimp Sanderson. Had a good, really good program in New Orleans. He ended up at Wyoming. And when he ended up at Wyoming, he recruited some cat from Demopolis named
Theo Riley,
who went on to have a long NBA career. Well, now Theo Ratliff, as genes and genetics would have it, has got twin sons. And now I'm very old, Gary. Theo Ratliff has twin sons in the state of New York. They're 7 feet tall, and they're identical twins, and they are going to visit this weekend, and they're 2026 prospects. Alabama hasn't been mentioned with a lot of bigs, but from what I understand, Nate Oates has been all over these two kids. He wants them very much, and they're visiting this weekend. They've already visited the likes of Wake Forest. They've already been on a few trips, but I think, you know, I know they live up north, but Theo is a native Alabamian and probably still has family near Tuscaloosa, I would think. So I think this is an outstanding opportunity to get two more guys on campus, and this may be your bigs in the class, because I kind of wondered how Alabama would, from a big standpoint, what direction they would go in, and then started hearing about the Ratliff twins. So you take in those guys. Could you add a Caleb Holt? Could you add a Dylan Mingo? We don't know, but I'll just say this. They're swinging hard, and I think they've got a chance to have a top 3 to 5 class in the country, and they're certainly off to a great start being in the top 5 right now. And every kid he's bringing in recruiting, Gary, where Alabama basketball recruiting is a top 50 type player, yeah. If not top 20, top 10. That's where the program is right now.
All right, Drew, you're going to have to do this in about a minute. But speaking of in-state recruiting, and like I said, I'm by no means knocking Alabama. They know what they're doing. But because Herb Jones went there, it is a curious situation with Gage Mayfield just down the road here, 20 minutes at Moundville at Hale County High School. He's going to announce on Thursday at 2:30 in the lunchroom between Tennessee, Oklahoma, Florida State, and Vandy. Just your feeling on Alabama not being involved here.
Well, I saw him at Alabama team camp, Gary. He was there along with Clower and some other guys. Could definitely shoot the basketball, but the buzz around him, it never seemed like Alabama was pushing for him or Auburn, okay? I think he's going to commit to the University of Tennessee. That seemed to be the buzz around Tuscaloosa then, was that he really liked the Vols and he thought they were a good fit. I just think Alabama decided to go in a different direction because he's a wing player, and they're recruiting a lot of wings, including Chris Washington Jr., and it's kind of funny. Gage is the number one prospect in Alabama, may end up at Tennessee. The number one prospect in Tennessee has already committed to Alabama.
Yeah.
That's where we are right now.
That is. Hey, great stuff, Drew. Tremendous update, and I know you got information galore available for people if they wanted to listen to your show, follow you on social media, tell everybody how they can do it.
Yeah, at Drew D 977 ESPN on X and at 977 ESPN on our station. And if you miss our content with Scott Tyson and I, it's on 977ESPN.com, pardon me. And then, of course, they can go to our SoundCloud page, 97.7 The Zone. But we always enjoy being on, Gary, and appreciate it.
Thank you, Drew. Really tremendous update there on Alabama football and basketball. All right, it's 9:56, and here's what we're going to do, because I went over, but Chase is going to bail me out, as he always does. We're just going to go ahead and finish up this first hour to double up these breaks. So when we come back, we'll be into hour number two. And we're going to have Kalen DeBoer audio from the Monday Morning Quarterback Club yesterday. We're going to have Brian Kelly. And we're going to have the Patterson Law Firm segment at 10:30. So 1 hour in the books. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is coming up. I don't understand. It's
just my job. Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Hey, coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough. We'll get an update on the Alabama Crimson Tide, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Mac, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The LA Chargers are 2-0 in the young NFL season after a late-night win at Las Vegas 20-9. Justin Herbert had 2 touchdown passes in the first half. Geno Smith in defeat threw 3 interceptions, 2 on tipped balls. Chargers star edge rusher Khalil Mack left with an elbow injury. His arm is in a sling. Earlier, Tampa Bay went to 2-0, getting a touchdown run in the final seconds to win at Houston 20-19. The Texans were stopped on a 4th-and-goal early fourth quarter. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow will have toe surgery. He could miss at least 3 months. The Philadelphia Phillies clinched the NL East title. Kyle Schwarber hit his 53rd homer, and eventually in 10 innings, the Phils won in LA 6-5 over the Dodgers. Victories for the Reds and Diamondbacks. Houston beat Texas.
Mayberry, ask your doctor about Tremfya today.
Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit trimfireradio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny today, Tuscaloosa's high around 91. Mostly clear tonight, below 68. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 89 and 92. Friday, a small chance of a shower, the high 92. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show right here on the Big Tide, 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. I'm Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield right there on the other side of the glass. This is Tuesday, September 16th, 2025. We're 1 hour in. We got another hour to go. And I was telling Chase, this congestion, sinus, whatever it is, allergies, been rough the last few days, but it's really breaking up. Can you hear my voice, I think? I mean,
you sound better.
Since I've been on the show, I felt just breakup in my chest. So feeling good. Got a good hour on tap for you. The Patterson Law Firm segment coming up at 10:30. Phone calls are welcome. The phone line is open at 205-342-9904. Storage Center Hotline. We had a ton of calls in the first hour. But right now, since we have an opening, let's get to that Kalen DeBoer audio, Chase. This is from yesterday. He did not do a press conference on the bye week, but he did meet with the media over at the Monday Morning Quarterback Club in Birmingham. And here's Kalen DeBoer with his comments and his Q&A with reporters yesterday morning over in Birmingham.
This summer. So.
You don't mind opening up with a statement about being here today, and then we'll have to take some questions.
Yeah, it's good to be here and just, you know, enjoy the week away from having a game on Saturday to prepare for. You know, get to share with people here, obviously for a good cause. So, you know, guys are going to have a couple days away from football, get back to work again on Wednesday, get ready for Georgia.
How do you expect Cam Miller, once he comes back, to be able to help this running game?
Yeah, he's got some explosiveness. He's got great strength. Really count on him, and he had a great fall camp, and so hopefully it doesn't take him long to get back into the swing of things.
Tim, along the same front, is there limitations with your understanding of it when he does come back? Do you have to put him on a pitch count, or is it kind of like when he's good to go, he's good to go?
Yeah, I think with any injury, there's a volume increase that has to happen in a progression. And, this week we'll keep building on a few of the things he did last week. And then, I don't know what that would be yet at this point. It depends on the progress he makes. But, I don't anticipate that he'll be able to go out and just play a full game, maybe at the number of snaps that he would have if he is completely healthy.
How do you assess kind of how players have adapted to Brian Grubb's scheme over the first three games, and kind of what elements do you, I guess, expect moving forward? Take the next steps and what
is wrong? Yeah, I think there's been a lot of progress on that, and they can understand the schemes because a lot of the concepts are in the same families, and but I think there's just a feel of a trust that happens only through doing it together. And now that we've got three games, I really felt it in this last game. As the talk and the conversations happen, whether it's during a play and just anticipating what the check might be or what the read might be and where the ball might end up, that's what was happening on the football field. And that's a tribute to our guys being at the right spot and understanding really what we're trying to get out of each call that we make. And so that just comes through more experience together, talking through the situations we've been in. And, three games in now, I can really see that happening.
Kalen, the play that you ran to start the second half, the execution, the role of blockers, the physicality, does that kind of sum up what this team carries up?
Yeah, we've run that play a couple times every year. And That was about as good as it's been run ever. And so, you know, from the landmarks that certain guys need to get to, so that's detail-oriented, to, you know, being together, being in unison, the timing being exactly what it needs to be, the trust that you have all the ball handling from the handoffs to the flips to a second flip and then another throw, and then the linemen being disciplined on not grabbing because they're out in space. And so I was really, really proud of the way we executed that, which is one play, but it is a step in the right direction when it comes to just the overall discipline, the overall trust that I think is continuing to happen on our team.
Yeah, it's been an eventful couple weeks, first 3 weeks of the season. How do you deal with, you know, the intense attention this program gets and the criticism it might receive after the first game like that?
Yeah, I'm just really proud of our guys and the way they've handled any outside noise. Really, they've understood that it doesn't mean anything. It really matters what we think and what we do. And they've really channeled their focus, channeled their energy in the right things, and that's their preparation. It's probably added a little fuel to a fire in some cases for individuals, but I think as a team, our team as a whole, they've really been forced to stick together, I think, on another level. And so I hope that the edge that it's created the last couple weeks stays. It needs to. I'm going to keep reminding them of that. It's led to a lot of positive things in our football team. You hate to go through it, but right now, the adversity, we're better off because of it.
Did it change your approach to the team at all? Going through that, and maybe you have a more of an edge yourself, or not really?
Yeah, there's certainly some things that you're made aware of that that hit you a certain way, and especially when it comes to my team, my guys that are super disciplined in the things that they do off the field, and it will continues to take time, but it's, you can see the progress being made on the want to and the desire, and it translating to production on the football field. And so there's an edge that our guys have, and it's been great seeing them really, you know, have the fire fueled on another level.
Do you have an update on LT Overton?
I'd expect him to play. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. All right, good stuff there from Kalen DeBoer. That was yesterday morning over in Birmingham as he spoke to the Monday Morning Quarterback Club and also did a media session. All right, before we get to the break, because once we get back, hopefully we'll take some phone calls, 205-342-9904. I want to go ahead, because what happens a lot of times, I say I'm going to try to play this audio, and this Chase knows we get busy and we don't get to do it. Brian Kelly had an interesting exchange on Saturday night following the 20-10 win by LSU over Florida with a local reporter there in Baton Rouge, and didn't like the question, and I get it. You know, winning the game is hard, but he seemed to go a little bit over the top, and then yesterday he came back with a apology in his regular Monday press conference. But first, this is Brian Kelly Saturday night after the win by the Bayou Bengals over the Florida Gators.
Brian, in the back, I know you love these immediate post-game sessions, but what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's some ridiculous questions. And I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 at night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous. For a group of seasoned reporters, that kind of question is so out of line.
All right. Let me say this. I get Kelly's point in this, from the standpoint that, hey, we won the game. And that is the ultimate goal of any football team. And I understand. But I don't know with him, you know, when Coach Saban would go on with, if you wanted to call it a rant, it just seems so much more genuine. Everything with him seems a little contrived to me, a little bit, you know, premeditated, rehearsed. I didn't get the feeling that he was really mad as much as he just was trying to make a point. He used that reporter. But here he is yesterday, his response in his press conference to what he had to say to the reporter. He came back yesterday with an apology.
Hi. Before I get to the game in Southeast Louisiana, I want to go back to the press conference after the game. I've texted with Mike and offered my apology to him for the way I handled the questioning. I think it's important to understand that, you know, my standards relative to how we work with the media on a day-to-day basis need to be higher. And I take responsibility for that, and I'll be better in the future. And understanding also that the way I'm thinking after a game, and we've mentioned this a couple of times in here, the emotions of the game right after it, I haven't watched any film. It's difficult to make those assessments of specifics. And I'm going to defend my team. I'm going to defend my players first and foremost. But having said that, I publicly apologize to Mike, and he's an outstanding reporter. He works hard, and we'll do better moving forward. So I just wanted to address that in the outset.
All right, so he diffused it and gave the reporter credit for being a hardworking reporter. And certainly I think the reporter's questions about the game and the offense weren't out of line. So it's all as well that ends well, as I guess. But it just, to me, with Brian Kelly sometimes, you know, it's like when he tried to use the fake Southern accent when he took the job. Chase, you remember that well at the basketball game. Sometimes he just doesn't seem genuine to me. A little bit, like I said, just rehearsed. But anyway, that's the end of that. All right, it's 10:15 here on the Gary Harris Show. And fitness is always something that we have to take serious in our lives, particularly as we get older. I'm trying to be as fit as I can in my 60s, and it's challenging with my schedule. I'm not going to lie to you, but that's why, you know, the YMCA is conveniently located downtown, 2300 13th Street. It's close to just about everywhere that you are in Tuscaloosa. And 7 days a week, great staff, great facility, great personal training. Everything you need is at the Y. The only thing that's missing is you. So if you make the decision to join the Y, you're going to be on your way to better health and fitness. YMCA of Tuscaloosa. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org, or you can call them 205-345-9622, or just stop by and see them, and they'll give you a tour of the great YMCA downtown branch, 2300 13th Street. Or we're going to be back. We're wide open for phone calls in the next segment on the Storage Center Hotline, 205-342-9904. We've got the Patterson Law Firm legal segment coming up at 10:30. We'll be right back.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from TuscaloosaThread.com. Brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. Dry weather conditions have resulted in 18 current wildfires across the state, including one in western Lamar County and another in northern Tuscaloosa County. The Alabama Forestry Commission's Terry Azell says there is some good news.
We haven't had much wind, and the fires have been somewhat smaller.
A 3.7% increase in enrollment has given the University of Alabama another record student body at 42,360 students. And Oscar-winning actor and director Robert Redford has died at the age of 89. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we've expanded to serve you better. Come see our new or pre-owned Mazda lineup, offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. I'm
I'm Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after-hours.
Diesel generators, True South generators, 205-609-2642.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny today, Tuscaloosa's high around 91. Mostly clear tonight, the low 68. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 89 and 92. Friday, a small chance of a shower, the high 92. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
All right, 1021, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And if you follow my program or listen to me here on the radio or watch me on TV, you know Bama and the NFL is something that I track a lot and keep up with. It's really interesting to me. Chase, in fact, I've said that this point in my life, I watch the NFL based more on players than I do on teams. I mean, I don't really have a team anymore. I've said before, moving around a lot when I was a kid, I was, you know, spent time in Texas and Michigan and Florida. So I'd be a Cowboys fan, a Lions fan, a Dolphins fan. And then when we moved to Northeast Alabama in fourth grade, that's kind of when I became an Atlanta sports fan because I could pick up the Atlanta TV stations. I became a Falcons fan, a Hawks fan, a Braves fan. And that kind of stayed with me most of my life. But now I'm more of a player fan. I mean, obviously, Derrick Henry is my favorite former Bama player. So I want to see the Ravens go to the Super Bowl. You know, that's the same way when Julio was playing with the Falcons. I mean, Julio was my guy. So, you know, Falcons made it to the Super Bowl and blew that 28-3 lead. It stung me against the Patriots. So, but it's fun to track these guys. Alabama, I think, has 62 former players. And it's a little bit more difficult now because of the portal. And do you claim a guy from Alabama like Jerome Ford, who played at Alabama and then went on to, you know, University of Cincinnati? But if they played at Alabama, they played at Alabama. So there's, you know, I usually try to do in my Bama in the NFL that I list on social media, I usually try to only list guys that made their name at Alabama, if that makes any sense. Like Alvin Kamara is a great player, but he's known to me as a Tennessee guy. He did play at Alabama, but he made his name. Now, I list Jalen Hurts because Jalen Hurts played 3 years at Alabama and just 1 year at Oklahoma, got his degree at Alabama. So so I try to list the team where they made the name for themselves. You know, Isaiah Bond's a tricky one. Because he really did make his name at Alabama, but he went to that, you know, he went to Texas. So it's odd, but still some great performances from over the weekend. Let's start with all the quarterbacks. Mac Jones was phenomenal getting the start for the 49ers in place of the injured Brock Purdy. 26 of 39 for 279, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Keep in mind, too, that George Kittle didn't play that game. A couple wide receivers were out. Mac Jones was fabulous. Tua had good numbers. 26 of 32 for 315, 2 touchdowns and a pick, but the Dolphins lost the game to the Patriots. And he had, he's had some turnover issues so far in two games. Bryce Young led a spirited comeback against the Cardinals, but the Panthers fell short. But still, he set career highs with 328 yards passing and tied his career high with 3 touchdowns. He went 35 of 55 for 328, 3 TDs and a pick. Jalen Hurts just did what Jalen Hurts does, and that's win the game against the Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch. 15 of 22, 101 yards, 9 carries for 15 yards and a touchdown. Running back-wise, Jacobs had a nice game for the Packers, 23 carries, 84 yards and a TD. Here, Derrick Henry had a terrible game. The Browns did what they said they would do. They shut him down, even though Baltimore won the game. 11 carries for 23 yards. You're not going to see that very much from Derrick Henry. Jahmyr Gibbs got back on track, as I figured he would. 12 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown. 3 catches for 10 yards. Najee Harris last night, 8 carries for 28 yards, 2 receptions for 20 yards. Wide receiver-wise, really good game for Jalen Waddle. 5 catches, 68 yards and a touchdown. Jameson Williams, 2 catches, 108 yards and a touchdown. Devontae Smith, 4 catches, 53 yards. Ridley, 3 catches, 57 yards. Jerry Jeudy, 4 catches, 51 yards. Defensively, a lot of these defensive linemen under Saban are still in the league. Deron Payne had a tackle. A'shaun Robinson had a tackle. Quentin Williams had 2 tackles and a tackle for loss. Barmore had a tackle and a tackle for loss. Jaron Reed, 3 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for loss. Dalvin Tomlinson, 2 tackles and a tackle for loss. Byron Young had a tackle. Jonathan Allen had 7 tackles. Deshaun Hand had a tackle. Jonathan Aboigbe last night had 2 tackles. Anthony Jennings had 3 tackles. Mac Wilson at linebacker, as we get to the linebackers, 8 tackles and a pass deflection, pass defended. He has been really good for the Cardinals. Jihad Campbell is a rookie, 7 tackles. Dallas Turner, 5 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for loss. Will Anderson Jr. last night, 4 tackles and a sack. And Henry Toa had 11 tackles and a tackle for loss for the Texans last night. But as I mentioned, he had a chance on fourth down. He came free, and he took a bad angle on Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield went up the field for a first down. Could have ended the game right there, but he didn't make the play, and then Tampa Bay went on to win the game. Secondary, Marlon Humphrey had 3 tackles. He did drop an interception that led to a touchdown, as the Browns player caught it in the end zone. He should have just knocked it down. It was fourth down. Terrion Arnold had 6 tackles. McKinstry had a tackle for the Saints. Let's see here. Surtain, who's one of the best corners in the league, 11 tackles and a pass defended. Josh Jobe, 4 tackles. Brian Branch, 6 tackles, a sack, 2 tackles for loss, and a pass defended. Xavier McKinney, 3 tackles. Battle, 4 tackles. I mean, they're everywhere. Alabama, Bama in the NFL. Kicker-wise, Will Reichert had 2 field goals, including a 59-yarder. And J.K. Scott had 3 punts for 158 yards, over a 50-yard average. So Bama in the NFL. Every Sunday, it's fun to track it, and I like to do that, and that's some of the top performances by former Crimson Tiders over the weekend. All right, it is 10:28 here on the Gary Harris Show, and coming up next, it is the Patterson Law Firm legal segment with North Patterson in studio. And our topic today, big insurance miss. What adjusters don't want you to know. North will have 5 points on that. Also, we can take your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. If you want to call in and ask North a question, he is more than happy to answer it for you, whether it's on our topic or on another topic. So the Patterson Law Firm legal segment is coming up next when the Gary Harris Show continues on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
And great drink specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
There's no bending down and no struggling to tie your shoes. Just step in and go. Try ArchFit hands-free Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever comfortable footwear is sold.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:31. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And it is time for the Patterson Law Firm segment with North Patterson. Before we get to Patterson and let North explain what's on top, let me say a few words about Patterson Law Firm. If you're hurt in an automobile accident or dealing with any kind of personal injury, you know, and you live in West Alabama, I mean, I know there's a lot of 800 numbers out there, and they bombard you with advertising, so it's easy, and they make the numbers easy, so it's easy just to say, okay, I'm going to call this law firm because I've seen this commercial. Well, North and Paul Patterson have a commercial too, and it's on their website, and it's right here on the Gary Harris Show, and they've got an easy number to remember as well, 205-345-1000. It's just that simple, 205-345-1000. And remember, no recovery for you, no fee. Free consultation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And here's the difference. When you call 205-345-1000, you'll never get a call center. You'll talk to a real attorney right here in West Alabama. And I want you to think about that for a moment. And again, I've said this before, and North will even back me up on it. Those law firms that advertise nationally, they're going to try to get you a settlement. Certainly they are. They're not going to try not to win for you. But will they go the distance with you? Will they meet with you face to face? Will you ever even see your lawyer in person? There's a good chance you won't. And what does that mean? They're working so many cases, you can't even keep up with them. So the odds are that when you have an opportunity to get a settlement, they're going to take it. They're not going to battle the insurance companies long term because they want to get their fee and they want to collect for you. But that might not be what is best for you. So remember, local makes a difference. Patterson Law Firm.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
Good morning, North.
Good morning, Gary.
Would you agree with that?
Hey, look, I totally agree. Me and my dad, we've been blessed. We haven't had to push advertising like some of the other firms. Most of our client base has been word of mouth around the community and around West Alabama and the whole state. We've got cases going on in the entire state right now. And, you know, I firmly believe that as a lawyer, you need to be accessible to your clients. Your clients need your phone number, your personal number, mm-hmm. because you never know when something's going to happen where they need you. Mm-hmm. And so that's a pillar of what I practice on is accessibility for my clients and let them be able to say, hey, I need a quick answer to this question right now. Let me call North.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, too, like I said, when you live in the community with the people that you represent, you want to do right by them.
You do.
Because you got to live with them and see them.
We go to church with them. We see them at the grocery store, at ball games. I want to do right by them.
That
absolutely
makes a difference. You know, if you're dealing with a law firm that's based in Miami or Atlanta or even Birmingham, as I said, and that's just the truth. You might not ever meet your attorney face-to-face. So if you're not happy with their service, there's really not much you can do about it. All right, let's get to our topic.
Yeah, topic today is big myths about insurance companies mm-hmm. and what adjusters do not want you, the listener, to know. I broke down 5 points when I got to thinking about this topic. Point number one is going to be that if the other driver admits fault, the insurance company will automatically pay you. Now, that's a massive myth. That if the other person admits fault on the accident, then I don't need a lawyer. They're going to pay my claim. Not true. Not true at all. They routinely still deny liability after somebody admits fault. Mm-hmm. Now, they'll look at the police report, and if they think, oh, wait, you know, even though he admitted fault or insured admitted fault, he wasn't really at fault. We're going to deny liability mm-hmm. here. Having a lawyer, you can call that out quick. You can get the facts supported on your side and prove liability from the outset of the case. And a big umbrella about this topic is that insurance companies, how do they profit? They profit by keeping money, by not paying out claims.
Exactly.
So a lot of people will say, look, the adjuster, he's on my side. He's been my insurance adjuster for 20 years, you know, that kind of thing. I hear that all the time. The adjuster works for the insurance company, mm-hmm. and that's where his priorities are because mm-hmm. that's who pays his or her check. And so they profit by keeping money and by not having to pay out your claim. Mm-hmm. And that's where lawyers come in and say, no, you're going to pay what's fair and what's equitable and what's right mm-hmm. to my client. Myth number two goes along with that point. The adjuster's here to help me. You know, we kind of hit on it, but the adjusters work for the insurance
that's
company,
right.
not for you personally.
That's right. And they may like you, but like you said, they've got a job to do.
Yeah, and they might be a great person
yeah.
too, but they at the end of the day,
they're
they do have a job.
Yeah, yeah. And that's their job. Their job is to, again, remember this, because North's making a great point, and I know some insurance adjusters. They're good people, but boy, when they're out on the job, that's exactly what they're doing. They're looking for everything that they can fine to not pay you the maximum amount from the insurance company.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you see that all across the board, not just car accidents. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend of mine right now who's going through storm damage on his roof, mm-hmm. and his insurance company's jerking him around saying, no, I'm not paying for a new roof, when obviously it was a storm that caused the damage. So you see that all mm-hmm. the time. And that's why it helps to get a lawyer involved early on so they can call out mm-hmm. that nonsense. Myth number three that I was thinking about was, if I don't feel pain right away, I don't have a case. We've hit on this in the past, a lot, Gary, yeah. a lot, but you know, most of the times right after a car accident, your adrenaline's going to be pumping. You may not feel much. Now, if it's a severe accident, of course you will, but if it's not that severe, you may not feel anything. Injuries often can show up days later, weeks later, and waiting too long to see medical professionals, it can actually end up hurting your case, because that gives the opportunity for an insurance company to say, hey, no, this wreck didn't cause, you know, your back pain or your herniated disc. You know, something else did, a fall you had or whatnot, when clearly, you know, of course it was the wreck. So that's why I've always, when we spoke on this topic, I've always advocated go seek medical treatment right away, even if you're not feeling anything, just to double check and make sure that you're okay. Mm-hmm. If you're perfectly fine, great, you don't need a lawyer, you don't have a claim. But if there's something there where you rack up medical bills at no fault of your own, absolutely call mm-hmm. me immediately, because you do have a claim.
If you want to get involved with the conversation, and I'll let North get back to his points here in just a second, I do want to remind you again, the phone number 205-342-9904. You're welcome to call on this topic or any other topic with North. He loves engaging with our listeners. So if you've got a question, feel free to call.
Mm-hmm. Myth number four that I was thinking about is, the insurance company has offered me money fast, you know, within a couple days after the wreck. This must be a good sign. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. The first time, every time I see an insurance company offering a client money right from the outset,
they're trying to get it settled quick, because they know
there's a problem there. Yeah, and most of the time it's a low ball offer. Yep. It's $2,500, $3,000, $5,000, something
they're
like that.
They're praying you take it.
And praying you take it, absolutely. And then once you sign that release and take the check, that's it. You're done. You can't do anything after that. So you know, a quick settlement offer, usually, you know, I'm not going to say all the time, mm-hmm. but I'd say upwards to 99% of the time, is a bad sign.
And it's effective a lot, though. This is, I'll follow up with you as a reporter, because you say, people listening will say, well, why would I take their first offer? Well, because a lot of times people need money.
Yeah.
Or they're not in a good situation financially. And they see this as an opportunity. And the insurance companies know that.
That's
and
right.
They'll prey on that. And they're like, you know, they'll make a $2,500 offer for a case that might be worth 5-10 times that, understanding that, well, if we offer these people this money, they're going to take it because they need money.
That's exactly right.
Instead of having the patience and calling the lawyer and waiting it out. That happens more probably than people would realize, that people take that quick offer, don't they?
They do. And most of the time they take it because they have to pay for doctors and they have to pay for medical care. You know, I have clients all the time that is what's called self-pay. They don't have health insurance. And so when they are racking up 5 figures, 6 figures in medical bills, they're sitting there thinking, what am I going to do mm-hmm. here? You know, I need something to at least pay down some mm-hmm. of these medical bills that I have. And I always tell my clients, don't hang with me a little bit. You know, at the end of the day, it's your call. If you want to settle your case, we'll settle your case. But just bear with me a little bit, and let's get this a fair and equitable resolution for you. Last thing, if I give a recorded statement, I see recorded statements all the time. If I, and a lot of people say, if I give a recorded statement, it'll speed things up. Wrong. It will not speed things up. And what that recorded statement's going to do is it's going to be totally used against you. You know, insurance companies, they have lawyers too. They have defense lawyers on their team. They're going to pick apart those words of a recorded statement. They're going to try to use it against you. They're going to try to deny liability off your recorded statement. And if you slip up one time and say, well, yeah, you know, I think it was my fault. You know, if they talk you into that, then that could severely hurt your case.
You know, what's clear, again, is that if you're in an automobile accident, or again, any type of injury situation, can be work related, you just don't want to do it by yourself. I mean, the insurance companies, the adjusters, they can get you in a pickle. I mean, it's clear, call a lawyer. I mean, we'd prefer you call Patterson Law Firm, but again, no settlement, no fee. There's no risk to you, and you stand a much better opportunity to be treated fairly, and like you said, get what you deserve, than if you try to handle this yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I have this happen all the time where people will call me and ask a question, and I'm always open and honest about it. If you need a lawyer, I will tell you, yes, you need me for this. Mm-hmm. If you don't, I had it happen yesterday. You know, a lady called me, and she had a property damage claim. Her car got hit. It mm-hmm. was parked down in Orange Beach, and she was wanting to know, does she need a lawyer to, because the insurance company wasn't paying her property damage portion of her claim. I walked her through how to handle it with the insurance company. I said, no, you don't need a lawyer, because in a situation like that, once attorney's fees come out, the client's not better off.
Right.
So, I'm always open and honest. If right. I tell my, if I have a potential client in front of me and they have an issue and I say, look, you don't need a lawyer, let me just walk you through this right. and tell you wow. how to do it.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Yeah. And then if I say, hey, no, you're going to need me for this, yeah. they know I'm honest yeah. about it. And
well, you like, come so. By it honestly, because I know I've called Paul, your dad, a couple times with questions. And we did exactly that. I mean, I said, hey, there's something here with my, you know, with somebody that I know or a family member. This is what happened. Do you think we need you? And right. he said, well, tell me what's going on. And he said, no, I don't think that you need an attorney here, but you do need to tell them to do it and handle it this way.
That's right.
So very, very honest.
And I think we've been effective at getting this message across, but, you know, if people do have those conversations or those thoughts and they do want to ask me those questions, mm-hmm. you're never going to get a bill. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to bill you. You're not going to have to pay me for mm-hmm. any type of question that you mm-hmm. have or answer. You know, I'm happy to meet with people and just mm-hmm. consult with them totally free. And if I think they have a case, we'll take the case. Yeah. If not, then I'll tell them what to do.
This is forward. Interesting. And again, I'm looking at your website. And again, folks, if you have any questions about Patterson Law Firm, I would encourage you to go to PattersonLawPC.com. This is a tremendous website, and it lays out everything about their firm. I mean, in depth. It's really well done, North. But
appreciate that.
When you're a local firm, and again, you've got a great reputation. Patterson Law Firm is great. You do take cases. There are people that contact you from all over the country. I know that. But that's still, right. you're a local firm. You're based here. You're a small firm as compared to a lot of these 800 firms that, again, they're just everywhere.
Right.
And they're bombarding you with advertising. I guess for you guys, as you and Paul, your resume is your work.
Yeah.
You stand on business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because you don't have that massive advertising budget, you have to lay your resume out there for people to see the job that you've done. That's what they like about your website. Yeah. It shows the verdicts that you guys have collected.
Yeah, and you know, if we wanted to go and start advertising across the state and, you know, us on billboards mm-hmm. every other mile down the road, could we do that? Absolutely, we could do that. We actively choose not to do that. Mm-hmm. Like I said at the beginning, we've been extremely blessed at Patterson Law to be a word of mouth law firm. To say, hey, those guys, they'll take care of you, they'll help you, and I think it's because of our work product and the way that we're accessible to our clients. And so, we like I said, we've been blessed and happy to help our community. Here.
Let's get out on the Storage Center Hotline and take a call from our really good friend of the program, Robbie Glenn. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good morning.
So a golf question. Let's say you hit an errant tee shot off the tee and it crosses over and hits an oncoming car on traffic. Who's liable for that?
Which has happened.
It has happened.
Yeah, it has happened. There's a lot of golf courses near roads, and you might not be very good off the tee. But who's liable for that? Are you for hitting a bad shot or the course for not having yeah. proper netting?
There's a hole in North River that fits that right by the road. If you hook your tee shot, you can pop a car. What about that?
Look, North? I hate to give you the whole cliche law answer, but it does depend in a situation like that. You know, there is an argument that there's an assumption of the risk that plays there depending on the road. I mean, if you're just driving for a stroll next to a golf course because you're wanting to see the view, then you know, one could argue that you are assuming the risk that a golf ball can hit you. But there is the flip side of that. I have seen cases where people have tried to tee off and they slice one dramatically and it hits a car windshield, and their insurance has paid the claim for that windshield. Yeah. So yeah, the golfer can be held liable in a situation like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna start hitting a wedge then off.
Yeah, that one hole. And I that's funny because I was playing, and I don't mind. He wouldn't mind me telling you this. Playing that. What is that hole that's right there by the? I can't remember the court number, but the one that's right there by the road at North River.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, Tommy Wilcox hooked one, and it did go right of passing van. They had to. It went into the van. It flew into the van. They stopped. But it didn't hit anybody. It didn't break a window. So they looked back, and then they just went on. But he literally hit one in a van. Thankfully, the window was down.
Hey, Robin, in a situation like that, man, you just need to break out the Texas wedge.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I'm thinking about doing now when I get near a road.
That's right. How's Stryker doing?
Another bad night. But I'm back at work now, so he's doing okay now. But yeah, bad night. I don't know what's going on with that, but it is very frustrating.
Well, and I know everybody keeps it.
Ever since his mouth surgery, it's every night, all through the night.
Oh, Lord. Well, I know he's in a lot of people's thoughts, but we'll keep praying for him. Thank you, Robbie.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah. All right, thanks for that phone call. Yeah, there's so many things. Then the whole golf deal, because people in real life, it's just like when you live on a golf course, you assume that liability. You know, you have to have, a lot of people have golf course insurance because, right, you know, that's more so than getting hit in a vehicle. But these houses, I mean, people get mad. I mean, we've hit in the yards and people come out. But you know what? That's part of living there.
Yeah.
And, you know, windows get busted, or people ought to have those fiberglass windows so they can do it. But that is a question for, but if you live on a golf course, you assume the risk when you live there, right?
Yeah, I would definitely argue that you do assume the risk. Yeah. Like I said, there's a lot of insurance at play there as well. And, you know, a lot of people have those nets up in front of their house and those fences where they're, you know, like surrounding the pools, mm-hmm, that I've seen. But
you know, we're getting short on time here. But here's this is, we're getting off topic because we're having some fun. You see it now, of course, with the cell phones everywhere, the videos. And listen, this has been going on before videos were made. There are incidents on the golf course with people, whether it's because somebody's slow in front of them or they hit into somebody like that. But unfortunately now, a lot of times on golf course, arguments lead to altercations, physical altercations. So I'm sure there have been some lawsuits, because we see the videos on social media where guys getting fist fights on the golf course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I haven't had that case come across my desk
yet. But you could.
But I very well could. Yeah, you never know what the law is going to bring you.
I guess if somebody gets in a final, let's say somebody hits into a group or they're slow play, I guess, and they get they're going jaw to jaw, I guess it's who throws the first pitch is first punch is who's liable for the assault. Yeah,
because who's the second? The second one has a self-defense claim.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, I guess. And you're what? Still in your 20s?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Yeah, so by the time you retire, which is probably going to be another 40 years or so, 35 years, imagine what you're going to see in the legal profession going forward.
You know, it's still at this point in my career, I'm kind of blown away at what I see. You know, some days, yeah, you never know what it's going to be. That's what keeps it interesting. That's why I love practicing law, helping people out. So, but yeah, you never know what's going to come across your desk.
Yeah. All right. Well, hope we help some people out there today with our topic. But go ahead and say a few words about your firm.
Yeah, Patterson Law Firm. We're located off 1323 Hargrove Road East next to Snow Hinton Park. You can reach us at 205-345-1000. 205-345-1000. Give us a call.
Thank you, North.
Thank you, Gary.
Patient is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
With Ryan Fowler.
Hey, coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough. We'll get an update on the Alabama Crimson Tide, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Exciting. Visit us online today. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Tuscaloosa Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Three great dealerships. One promise, your car, your way today.
If you haven't checked out Who's Q and Brew already, it's time you did so. Tuscaloosa's best barbecue with lunch specials daily and night specials Monday through Thursday. We have a full bar featuring a new cocktail and wine menu, 16 draft beers, and $5 bushwhackers, and we have 17 TVs so you can watch all the big games. New food items include baby back ribs, house-made queso, sweet vinaigrette dressing, and spicy Cajun Q sauce. And check out our breakfast catering menu. Who's Q and Brew is open 7 days a week, 1825 McFarland Boulevard North in the Northridge Center.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny today. Tuscaloosa's high around 91. Mostly clear tonight, the low 68. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 89 and 92. Friday, a small chance of a shower, the high 92. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:56, we're winding it down. App message that came through earlier when we were talking about when Cam called in, said, you know, trying to listen to the game on the Tide 109 app, but we're, you know, we play it on the air, not allowed to play it on the app. But Sherry from Montgomery left us an app message and said, hey, tell the caller to download the Varsity app and they can listen to the game live. So that's a possibility. Of course, like I said, if you're here in West Alabama, you don't have to worry about any apps or anything. You just listen over the air on Tide 109 and 95.3 The Bear. So, but yeah, that Varsity app is an opportunity because that is through the broadcast from each particular school. So, anyway, good show today. We appreciate Drudy Armand joining us, and also we appreciate, of course, North Patterson coming in studio with the Patterson Law Firm legal segment. Back tomorrow morning, Wednesday, means NASCAR Day with Matt Coulter, also Larry the Music Man. And tonight, I'll have the local sports for you, plus Tider Insider TV at 6:30 with Rodney Orr on WVUA 23. So that's going to do it for the show. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. For Chase Brumfeld, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll visit with you again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show.
To the game.